Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To join us on the air, just dial toll-free 1-888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just log on to our website at www.equip.org. Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
And before we take your questions, again, your questions on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK today. 888-ASK-HANK translates to 888-275-4265. I want to spend just a few moments talking about the word Advent. We're celebrating the Advent season. Very few people seem to know, as I talk to them, what Advent means. It actually literally means coming. As such, Advent is a season in which the Christian church celebrates the coming in flesh of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Advent church calendar is rife with all kinds of traditions, from biblical readings to the lighting of candles on an Advent wreath. But the glory of Advent finds its genesis in the Old Testament prophecies that point forward to the coming incarnation of Jesus Christ. Moses' prophecy that God would raise up a prophet like him from among the Israelites typologically points forward to the greatest of all prophets, the prophet Jesus Christ. Within the context of the Old Testament, the prophecy that God would raise up another prophet like Moses was fulfilled in the forefuture in Joshua, who led the children of Israel into the promised land. In addition to this near future fulfillment in Joshua, this prophecy came to be understood as pointing forward to an eschatological prophet who would lead the people of God as a new Moses and a new Joshua. As Joshua, and the name means salvation, led the children of Israel into the land of promise, so Jesus Christ will lead his people into the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. The Gospel of John reveals that this hope was alive and well in the first century. And Stephen implicitly identifies Jesus as the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy in his impassioned sermon, the very sermon for which he was martyred. In this way, both Moses' prophecy and its near future fulfillment in Joshua serve as types of the great prophet of God, who not only spoke the words of God, but was himself the Word made flesh. The beauty, the majesty of the gospel is that Abraham, the father of many nations, was promised a royal seed, and that seed is Jesus Christ. However, as the Apostle Paul explains, all who are clothed in Christ constitute one congruent, chosen covenant community connected by the cross. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and you are an heir according to the promise. The mystery is this, according to the Apostle Paul, that through the gospel, Gentiles are heirs, heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ. And if you cannot celebrate that, pray tell, what can you celebrate? Nothing more exciting than the celebration of Jesus Christ coming in flesh. Now, I've written a book called The Heart of Christmas. And the purpose of The Heart of Christmas is for you to prepare your heart just as you prepare your home. So often Christmas comes and goes, and we have lost the import, the meaning, the significance that God tabernacled among men in flesh. The Heart of Christmas, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can get a personalized copy for your donation of $100 or more to the Christian Research Institute. You can get discounted packages for family members and friends. There's an audio version, a lot of different ways in getting the Heart of Christmas. And we've been talking about making it more than just a book, but making it a movement. So order today for not only your own family, but coworkers and friends, so that just as you prepare your heart for Christmas, they too will prepare their heart for Christmas. Again, you can order via the phone lines at 888-7000 and the letter CRI, 888-7000 CRI, or when you log into the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go right to the phone lines. Again, your call on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Michael, you're up first in Collierville, Tennessee. Hi, Michael.
Hi. I had a question. I was wondering, this is regarding the Festival of Hanukkah, is there any biblical record, canonical or apocryphal, that the oil in the menorah, once the temple was rededicated, that it lasted 8 days instead of just one?
I think you can find that in the Apocrypha in 1 Maccabees.
Okay. I was just curious because I've looked in the Apocrypha and I haven't seen that in specific, you know, happen to know chapter and verse where that is.
Yeah, I think it's 1 Maccabees chapter 4.
Chapter 4.
Yeah, you'll have to check on that, but I'm pretty sure. You know, the Hanukkah season is pretty interesting in and of itself because it's a celebration of something that was emblazoned upon the minds of the Jewish people because their temple was desecrated by Antiochus IV, Epiphanes, the Syrian despot. And Jesus Christ points backwards to that as he prophesies that the temple in Jerusalem is going to be destroyed within a generation, and this time it's not just going to be desecrated as it was under Antiochus the First Epiphanes, it's going to be destroyed under Titus. And so this is something I think that we should be aware of because this is no doubt the greatest prophecy that Jesus Christ made. It was an apocalyptic prophecy that said that both Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed. The reason being that Jerusalem apostatized. They no longer were a light to the nations, but prostituted themselves with the nations. And as a result of that, Jerusalem and the temple, which ultimately are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, were utterly irrevocably destroyed.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
You got it. I want to mention something that sometimes does not get mentioned enough, and that is, we are, unfortunately, in this epoch of time, under the guise and spell of prophecy teachers who continually bring up prophecies to be able to predict the time of the rapture or Armageddon or the final war. They're continuously attempting to pin the tail on the Antichrist to give us a time frame by which we can tell when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to return or end time events. And now, of all things, we have the Mayan calendar. And there are biblical prophecy teachers supposing that God spoke through the ancient Mayans and told us exactly when the rapture or Armageddon or the final war in history would take place. One of those teachers, Jack Van Impe, imagine this, thinking that God is speaking through the ancient Mayans to give us a prophecy, to give us a time indicator and predictor. Nothing could be farther from the truth, and yet all kinds of people are falling for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. Now, the Mayan calendar is a calendar produced by an ancient Mayan culture that flourished in Central America somewhere between AD 250 and 800. And they utilized a complex system for telling time. And that system consisted of several calendars, the Hab, Lords of the Night, as well as a long count calendar, which follows a great cycle of approximately 5,125 years. Here's the problem, though. People think that they can predict, as Jack Van Impe has attempted to do, the time of the final war, which in his view is right around the corner, but no one knows what the starting date is. Is the starting date a date that will end up counting forward to 2012? Well, if you don't know what the starting date is, how do you get to 2012? So there's a flaw in the premise of the proposition, but unfortunately, prophecy teachers are still jumping on it, very much like they did with Y2K. If you think back, you'll remember that with Y2K, people simply began believing that this was the basis on which a one-world government and a one-world currency would be established. Of course, this has not happened. But as I say, we've got short memories and we forget about Y2K. And now we have the prophecy teachers jumping on the next thing. And the next thing is the Mayan calendar. And the point of bringing this up is that we need to recognize that we don't know when the final war will be or when the world will end. What we do know is that we are called to be faithful and fruitful in the meantime. That we are called to make our lives count for time and for eternity. As disturbing as it is, I want to take just a moment to play Jack Van Impe on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, pointing out how the Mayan calendar can be used to determine the times of the end. Here's Jack Van Impe.
In Matthew 1:17, there are 42 generations from Abraham until Christ. What? 2,160 years divided by 42 is 51.2. In Luke chapter 3, verses 23 to 38, there are 77 generations into 4,000 years from Adam to Christ, and that comes out to 51.2. And if you add the extra 6 months because the Six-Day War took place in June, you're almost at 52 years. You add 52 to 1967, and you come out pretty close to 2018, 2019, subtract 7 years from that, we're talking about 2012. And remember what I said 2 weeks ago? The main calendar ends December 21st, 2012. It's all near, ladies and gentlemen. I don't believe in setting dates, Matthew 24:36, but Jesus said, when you shall see all these signs and they're here, then you'll know it's near, even at the door, Matthew 24:33.
It's breathtaking to hear someone like Jack Van Impe, a prominent Bible teacher, a prominent prophecy pundit, using the Mayans now as though God is speaking through this ancient civilization. God is prophesying. God is putting the word of the Mayan on par with his word. And he says elsewhere, the civilization ended in the 10th century, but already they were telling what would happen 1,000 years later, for December 21, 2012. Now, what could they have possibly meant? They couldn't have meant the end of the world, according to the Bible, says Jack Van Impe. Perhaps, he says, they were thinking about something like the rapture or Armageddon, that's very possible. That a great war would come, the final war in world history. Well, says Jack Van Impe, we'll soon see, because it's just around the corner. How does he know that? Well, he doesn't know that. But sophistry, sensationalism, script torture, they all sell today. That if you're not armed with biblical truth, if you don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth, you're going to fall for the modern-day prophecy pundits. It's one of the reasons I wrote the book, The Apocalypse Code. It'll teach you how to read the Bible for all it's worth, particularly when it comes to eschatological issues or end-time issues. By the way, your call right here at the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we'll be taking them in just a few minutes. 888-ASK-HANK.
As the Christmas holidays approach, don't forget about the Bible Answer Man website, www.equip.org, for your gift giving this year. Equip.org is a comprehensive tool in place for your edification, connecting you with the latest and best the Christian Research Institute has to offer. When you visit equip.org, you can also listen to past broadcasts of the Bible Answer Man, order products and materials you hear about on the broadcast, or consider giving the Christian Research Journal or one of Hank's recent books as a gift. It's also a vehicle by which you can contact CRI directly or to give a tax-deductible donation to our ministry. Again, the address is www.equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man will return in just a moment.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Our cover story examines the teachings of self-help superstar Anthony Robbins. Does he promote personal power or harmful hedonism? Lee Strobel equips you to share your faith in natural settings in our effective evangelism column. And don't miss our feature article on the moral views of scientist and ardent atheist Richard Dawkins as the journal examines the question, can morality be based in our selfish evolutionary past? Also, don't miss a review of the influential internet movie Zeitgeist, our practical hermeneutics department, viewpoint articles, or our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Christmas is the tremendous news that little baby Jesus came as God in flesh. Hank Hanegraaff has penned a hardbound devotional taking the truths of the Christmas story and turning them into traditions. In the Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. Each devotion is beautifully presented and complemented with an appropriate Christmas carol and thought-provoking questions. The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, is a collection of 25 daily devotions that are certain to inspire an annual Christmas tradition. This year, as you prepare your home for Christmas, prepare your heart as well. Order The Heart of Christmas with the accompanying Christmas carols on CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas carol CD, or quantity discount options to give as gifts to your loved ones and friends. That's equip.org.
Just a reminder that we're counting on your financial help during our year-end countdown when we receive about 20% of our annual income here at the Christian Research Institute and Bible Answer Man broadcast. This year, we had to cut some stations and make hard choices. So CRI's ability to minister depends on you, our ministry partners. So please contact the Christian Research Institute today and let us know that we can count on you for your financial and prayerful support to continue at this crucial time of year for our ministry. Our toll-free number is 888-7000-274. You can also, of course, give through our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Taking your calls live right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number, as always, to dial to get your question on the air Monday through Friday at this time, 888-ASK-HANK. 888-ASK-HANK translates to 275-4265. Let's go right to the phone lines. Talk to Anita, listening in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Anita.
My question is, the church I'm in, it's a Nazarene church, and they tell you, I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and they say that you have gifts, and that all you have to do is pray, and God will tell you what to do in your life. Well, I've been praying now for quite a while, and they say that the door will open, and that I will know automatically. Well, apparently I don't have any sign to tell me what He wants me to do.
Well, Anita,
how do you figure that out?
God never blazes the floodlight down your path so you can see what the future holds, but He gives you enough light so that you can step into some more light. So the whole idea in the Christian life is to walk forward step by step, and God is going to guide you. He guides you through prayer, but He also guides you through His Word. He guides you through circumstances. He guides you through people that He brings along your path throughout your life. So it's not as though God miraculously shouts, go this direction, go that direction, but He directs a moving ship. You have to walk step by step and then trust that He is going to guide you along the way. He not only will, but He will carry you during the deepest and darkest times in your life.
And how do I explain when the church tells me that I have a gift, but it will be shown to me what it is? How do I figure out what that gift is?
Well, we all have gifts according to the grace given to us, according to Romans chapter 12. Your gift is manifest through what you love to do. I think this is one of the things that you find that your giftedness is correspondent to what you really love to do. Do you love to write? Do you love to speak? Do you love to work with your hands? Do you love making things? You have talents, and those talents come out throughout the course of life. And as I say, the idea of even discovering talents comes by being a moving ship. A ship sitting in the harbor with the anchor down never really discovers its mission in life, never discovers its course or its path. So you have to move. Step by step, God will give you light and even uncover so that you can discover the giftedness that He has within you. And let me say that this is something that we have as believers that the world simply does not have. If you want to find what your giftedness is as an unbeliever, it's like looking for a needle in a haystack. But we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that when the Holy Spirit comes to reside within us, He gives our lives the meaning, the purpose, the fulfillment that our life is designed to have. When you are one of His, He will use you. It's not a matter of whether He might or could, but He will use you, and your gifts will be exposed not only to yourself, but to those around you.
Well, thank you for answering my question.
You got it, Anita. Appreciate your call. Go right back to the phone lines. Eric He's listening on WCRV. Hi, Eric.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today, Brother Hank?
I'm doing well. It's nice to talk to you.
Good. Yeah, we have a question. I was just wondering about, do you believe that it's once saved, always saved?
Well, it depends on the language you might want to use when you talk about this, because people certainly disagree on this subject. There are believers that say you can lose your salvation. There are believers who say God knows those who are his own and no one will snatch them out of his hand. And I certainly think that that is true. I contend that outward appearances can be deceiving, but if you are a genuine believer, the Lord who has saved you is also the Lord who will sanctify you. But in terms of deceptive appearances, consider Judas. For 3 years, he was part of Christ's inner circle. From all outward appearances, he was a true follower of Jesus Christ. And yet, Jesus characterized Judas as a devil. In fact, the book of Hebrews warns us that there were Jews who, like Judas, tasted God's goodness, and yet they turned from his grace. They acknowledged Christ with their lips, but their apostasy proved that their faith was not genuine faith. There's a couple of other points I'd make, though, in this regard. We would do well to remember that everlasting life means just that. It means life everlasting. And that life does not begin when we die, but it begins when we embrace the Savior who died in our place. And as our physical birth can never be undone, in the same way, our spiritual birth can never be undone. And that's why Christ said, you must be born again, not you must be born again and again and again. In fact, in Philippians, Paul praises God for the confidence that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. One last point I want to make, and that is Scripture is replete with passages that testify to the security of the believer. I think of John 5:24, which assures us that he who believes has, not might have, but has eternal life. Or 1 Corinthians 1:8, which promises that Christ will keep you strong to the end. Jude 24, a guarantee that God is able to keep you from falling, to present you before his glorious presence without fault. Or Ephesians, that provides the surety that you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession.
Okay. Yeah, I just had that point because I had a gentleman I was talking to, and he was saying he was once was a Christian, he believed in Jesus Christ, and now he's a Jehovah's Witness. He just believes Jesus as being a prophet. So that's where I had that question. But you clearly helped my understanding.
Yeah. So the question I guess that we want to ask here is: was he a believer in the first place? Did he have a said faith or a real faith?
Okay, I thank you for clearing my understanding on that.
You got it.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for your call, Eric. As has been well said, the Lord's trees are evergreen. As John puts it, speaking for Jesus Christ himself, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. A couple of things I want to say as we continue the broadcast today, and this comes genuinely from deep within my heart. We have had a very difficult year in the year 2009. It's been the best of times and the worst of times. It's been the best of times in that this ministry has borne abundant, abiding fruit. People coming out of the kingdom of the cults, out of the world of the occult, coming out of world religions into the kingdom of Christ. And not only coming into the kingdom of Christ, but being equipped to be reproducing disciple makers themselves. The Christian faith is not about accumulating individual salvations. It is about teaching people to think Christianly, to help them develop a biblical worldview. It's hard to look at the lens of your eye, but through the lens of your eye, you perceive the world. And the world you perceive is a function of the worldview that you have internalized and embrace. And so the mission of the Christian Research Institute is to have you not only be one who fulfills the Great Commission, but is attentive to the cultural mandate, which is to say, we are to tend the garden that God has placed us in. We are to be involved in every sphere of life as reproducing disciple makers. And if we are, we can turn a universe upside down. We can change our world and our time very much like the first century Christians did in their epoch of time. Not only did 12 scared, scattered disciples change a world, but they stamped the DNA of a biblical worldview on the greatest civilization in the history of the planet. And we are now in the throes of losing Western civilization. We don't even know what made it great. And we're losing the tree that has borne fruit. But people can do something about it. That's why we passionately equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened. But we can't do this work alone. We're bearing abundant, abiding fruit, but we need you to be part of the team. That's why I ask you to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. You can do this in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can do it via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can do it by speaking to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. We need you to be a part of the team. Whatever you can give this Christmas season will make a difference in the lives of real people for time and for eternity. And we might yet change the culture by God's grace. Your calls once again when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Be right back.
Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. Early bird pricing begins at only $449 per person plus port taxes and government fees and ends December 30th, 2009. This incredibly low price includes accommodations, meals, and all of our sessions during the week. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101. That's 877-768-2784, extension 101. Or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Register soon, as cabins are limited. Hank will return with more of the Bible Answer Man right after this. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God. Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, an ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by Hank Hanegraaff with accompanying Christmas Carol CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas CD, or quantity discount options. Set sail for a week at sea with Hank Hanegraaff and The Word, May 9th through May 16th, 2010. Departing Mother's Day weekend, the 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from the riches of God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship.
Considering it's Mother's Day, a great time to honor your mom and husbands, to honor your wives. Bring them on a great vacation. Let them relax in the beautiful Caribbean sunshine. Make it a Christmas gift this year.
Early bird pricing begins at only $449 plus taxes and fees per person. This incredibly low price includes accommodations and meals. To participate, go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Join us this year for the trip of a lifetime.
Early bird pricing ends December 30th. Hank Hanegraaff captures the joy and drama of the birth of Christ and its reality for our lives in The Heart of Christmas, a 25-day devotional for the season. Former atheist and award-winning journalist Lee Strobel encourages us to invite our family and friends to The Heart of Christmas, including those who are not followers of Christ.
I really congratulate you, Hank. I can think of several dozen people I want to get this to enrich their own Christmases, and I know they're going to thank me. And you know what? The people I have in mind, not all of them are Christians. This book has an evangelistic thread through it. It builds toward December the 24th, where it was a very sensitively done and yet clear presentation of what repentance means and what the gospel means. And so this is the kind of book that can lead them into that relationship, as well as those who are deep believers, because they're going to find something too. I don't care how long you've been a follower of Jesus, you're going to learn new stuff as you go through these devotions.
Experience The Heart of Christmas like never before and make this devotional a tradition in your home. Order The Heart of Christmas with the accompanying instrumental Christmas carols and hymns on CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or go online to www.equip.org. Give the special gift book to your loved ones or friends when you order discounted packages of 6 or 12. Or inquire about the personalized edition signed by Hank. You're giving a gift that will last for time and eternity. And now, here's Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our calls in just a moment. Your call's on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. But I do want to read a testimony from a lady who is writing in an area that we went off the air in. She writes, thanks for the great news. I've missed you. I look forward to listening to you on my way home from work. You're an inspiration to me. About 11 years ago, when I gave my life to Christ, after my conversion, I was starving for any and all spiritual outlets. Little did I know that there were some that were not Christ-centered. That's when God led me to you on the radio. It's also when I realized that some of the spiritual leaders, like Benny Hinn, that I was watching did not have a solid foundation in the Bible. I was therefore able to utilize your knowledge and resources to guide you on the correct path. Guide me on the correct path. Also, as God protects us as believers, He's placed me in a healthy, well-balanced church. I'm truly blessed and so glad that you're back on. We're back on as people stand with us prayerfully and financially. Again, you can support this ministry on the World Wide Web in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you speak with our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Let's take a phone call from Marcy. She's listening on the web in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Marcy.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Great. I have had this question coming up now for quite a while, and I'm not sure how to answer new believers in this, but in the Old Testament, it talks about ages of people reaching upwards of 900 years. And I've even heard some seasoned Christians answer it in such a way I'm not so comfortable with, and I just wasn't sure what some good resources were or some information, you know, where I could find about this or what you're...
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Marcy. I think on the one hand, you have young earth creationists that attribute this to what happened as a result of the flood. You have old earth creationists talking about supernovas and the cosmic radiation that comes as a result, and this is why age ranges changed. But I think the one thing we can say for certain is that this was an act of God in terms of the lifespan in general. After the fall, and particularly after the flood, what we have is the Bible telling us that the average lifespan is 70 years, or as the psalmist says, by reason of strength, 40 years. A score is 20 years, so the average lifespan then is 70 or 80 years. And that's what we can expect. That's how it has been, I think, consistently, even in the Bible, after the flood. So we don't really know exactly why. I don't know that there are authoritative resources that will tell you why. I think this is left somewhere in the area of speculation. So I don't know whether the ideas given by progressive creationists are ones that have real credibility. I'm very suspect of the canopy theory idea that's given in the young earth creation community. So I'm not sure that there is an authoritative answer to that particular question, but it's something that I will look into further. I do think that the best answer I can give you is just to give you the answer from Psalm 90, verse 10.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. I just, in leading new believers to Christ or answering questions, I find your ministry such a valuable resource, and I thank you for your answer, and look forward to hearing something else on the subject, too, because okay. I find it can be a stumbling block. People say, well, how could that be? So I really appreciate your ministry. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcy. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk next to Tony, listening on XM 170 in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Hi, Tony.
Hi, good evening, sir. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I was blessed to hear your show for the first time on Monday while waiting for my son at his boxing practice.
Oh, well.
Now, you probably already broached this topic probably many times before, and I just wanted to ask, would the Lord allow a believer to win the lottery?
Well, I don't think that believers should be involved in the lottery.
Okay.
The reason is that gambling glorifies chance. And it also very much taxes people in the lower echelon of society. It's an added tax the way it's set up, because the chances of winning the lottery are very, very slim.
So I
don't think we should be involved in something that glorifies chance. I don't think that's glorifying to God.
Oh, okay. Great answer. And I would only say that I guess part of my I would say rationale is, given that, you know, as I read the scripture, I see where the casting of lots was used a number of times, and I just wondered, you know, given that backdrop, it wouldn't be that the believer was trusting in chance if he felt as if the Lord was leading him to do that. It might be erroneously, but I was just wondering, given that casting of lots was used in scripture, would that be a precursor towards that?
No, I don't think that the lots that we have in scripture are normative, nor do I think that the lots in scripture are analogous to a lottery.
Okay.
A lottery encourages people to rely on luck rather than relying on God's providence, and it disregards Christian stewardship principles. And oftentimes attempts to benefit or profit at someone else's expense. And I think even more than that, it can be addictive and it can appeal to human greed. So I don't know that winning the lottery is going to make someone a great philanthropist. I've often thought this, that if you're not willing to give out of your need, it is unlikely that you're going to give out of your greed when you have a lot of money.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much for the insight.
You got it. Thank you so much for your question. And, of course, questions come in to the Christian Research Institute in all kinds of different ways. We've gotten heavily involved in social media. We're trying to optimize search engines so that when search engines are being used to find questions or information, that the information vetted through the Christian Research Institute comes out at the top of the list. So social media is very important to us, but a lot of people today are asking us questions on Facebook, on Twitter, in all kinds of different ways. There's a question I just got from Monica. How did Adam and Eve populate the earth? I know that they had three sons. They had Cain, Abel, and Shem. Did they have other children? Well, the first thing I think we should recognize is that Adam and Eve, very much like Marcy asked earlier on, lived a long period of time. If you live almost 1,000 years, there's a lot of time to propagate. And maybe this was necessary in the embryonic stages of civilization, so that we know that by the time Cain had killed his brother Abel, there were already great civilizations or lands such as the land of Nod. So we know that in 1,000 years, there's a tremendous amount of population that can happen. I mean, I can look at my own family having 12 children and see how rapidly a population can multiply. But imagine if you live a long period of time. So the whole idea in the beginning is that there's intermarriage between families. So someone would marry their sister or marry their niece, and population grew. There wasn't any prohibition against incest until literally hundreds and hundreds of years later, thousands of years later. So incest wasn't a factor, didn't become a law to protect human civilization until much later. So how did Adam and Eve populate the earth? Well, they lived a long period of time, and they not only had three children, they had many, many children. During that period of time, they followed the edict and the plan of God to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth. But there's another point I want to make tangential to that, and that is we need to learn to read the Bible for all it's worth, because if we can't read Genesis for all it's worth, we're going to quickly stumble. So many people look at Genesis chapter 1 and say, look, in Genesis chapter 1, you have plants and animals created before humankind. In Genesis chapter 2, you have humankind created before plants and animals. Obvious contradiction. And they can't get past that. They stumble with that particular issue. Just as Marcy correctly said, people stumble at the very beginning. They don't get a credible answer to a question, and therefore they think the foundation's flawed, the superstructure is bound to fall. The truth of the matter is, in Genesis chapter 1, you have a hierarchy of creation culminating in the crowning jewel of God's creation, humankind. In Genesis chapter 2, the focus is on humanity as they tend the garden. And they begin to fulfill the cultural mandate given to them by the Almighty. So there's a different purpose and focus in the two chapters that do not conflict, but rather correspond beautifully to one another. Much more could be said. I've written about these and many other questions in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. For your gift of $100 or more, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy. It does two things. It equips you, and it allows us to continue equipping others. Again, the Complete Bible Answer Book, personalized, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Just check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Unfortunately, out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all of the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus new answers to some of today's toughest questions. Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, packed with answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity, for your gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy and help support CRI at this critical time when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us now to pray." And he said to them,
"When you pray, say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.'"
The Lord's Prayer. We can rattle it off by heart. But at the same time, how many of us now struggle in our prayer life, searching for an intimate fellowship with God?
As human beings, we want instant success, instant formulas, but God wants something else. He wants intimate fellowship.
Begin your personal, fulfilling prayer life with the Lord. Get your copy of The Prayer of Jesus by Hank Hanegraaff. Call the Christian Research Institute and order The Prayer of Jesus, 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also find it on our website. Just go to www.equip.org.
Can there be any greater joy than to commune in the secret place with the living God?